Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Tzipi Talk, where we talk about the important parts of life. We bring you the issues that matter, and we do welcome your feedback. My name is Tzipi Felsenstein, and today is Monday, May 12, 2015. I'm very excited today to begin a new series. It's about something that I'm really, really passionate about. This is specifically designed for those of you that have a story to tell, and you're ready to tell the story. Our guest today is very special on so many levels. The most important is that she's a very, very touching story to help thousands, if not millions, of people. And she's courageous enough to share this story. Her name is Debbie Soul. So if you are ready to write your story, take out a pen and paper and get ready to write. Or you can sit back and just enjoy the journey for now. Think about writing your story and listen to us talking about it. Thank you, Debbie Soul, for joining us today. I'm so excited about your book and about your story.
Thank you for having me.
I know that this is something new and exciting, not just for you, also for me. I've never done a series like that on the air live so that other people can actually follow us along and do it. And you're actually going to end up with your story on paper, which is really exciting. Have you been thinking about writing this for a long time?
Do you know, so many people have been telling me, when are you writing your book? And I say, I want to, but I just haven't started it. So I'm very excited about finally being able to write my story.
Yeah. A lot of people actually happen to be in those shoes. They do have a story, an important story to tell, something that's not just important for you, but it's really also important for other people. And for some reason, they never get around to it because it seems like it's such a huge thing to do. You don't even know where to start. You don't know where to go. And sometimes you just need somebody to give you like a little kick in the butt and get going. So
well,
I'm really
absolutely,
excited to do it.
Absolutely. I totally believe in that. Help is always good. In everything that you do in life.
Yeah. So you do have a story. What is it about? What is the like most important thing that you really want to tell people?
Well, I think it's really twofold because I really came from a very abusive, mentally abusive marriage that I was brave enough to get out of. And my other story is about my son who was born. Actually, right before he was born, they said, okay, you have to get to the hospital because he's retarded and we need to take him out. And that was like that day. I had no knowledge of it the whole 9 months.
You mean
the day
you went into labor?
I did not go into labor.
What are you talking about? Oh, okay.
I am talking about the day before they told me to go to the hospital. We need to take your child out. He's not growing functionally. His head is the size of an apple.
And what month were you in?
My eighth.
8 months. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you are 8 months pregnant.
So he was my special little package. He was my special little package. And he actually changed my life, I say, totally, 180 degrees. But we have both come so far from that tiny little child that was 4'6" a month early, and we were both dying in the hospital. And it was actually Jewish holiday at the time. It was Rosh Hashanah, and everybody was praying for us because I was on the deathbed, he was on the deathbed, and we both survived.
Wow.
So it's truly an amazing story of how we both rose up from a really bad situation, and he's blossomed. I have changed. We have grown together. For an amazing story. He actually has graduated college.
It is. That's actually a miracle.
He has graduated college with a BS. Every special ed meeting that we had, they would say, he can't do this, he can't do that. He can't do this, he can't do that. And me and my son would look at each other, say, okay, and tell us what else he can't do because he will do this. And we'd walk out. And,
to you.
And then the following year, they'd come back, well, how did he pass this regent? Well, look at that. Look at that. Mm-hmm. You know, because of all the extra work that he put in as well as that I put in. And it was a fight, and it was a struggle with the family and with a lot of external environmental things. We both worked really hard, and I don't even think he realized how hard he was working while he was doing this. I knew how hard I was working, but I don't even think how hard he realized he was working. But let me tell you, it paid off, because as we speak right now, he actually just left his job and is opening up a business tomorrow. I'm so proud
wow.
of him.
Wow.
I'm going to cry.
That's
you have no
result.
Idea.
That's amazing.
I'm going to cry. This is like, I'm so proud of my son.
Mm-hmm. So let's
the tears are rolling down my face.
Let's go back, Debbie, to the day that you're 8 months pregnant and they tell you you have to go to the hospital and abort this child because it's not a normal child. And you said, no, I'm not going to the hospital, just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I said,
like,
no, it was the holiday. And I'm like, well, I'm not going and I'm not ready to deal with this. And what are they talking about? And it's a mistake. And I'm having my holiday meal before I do anything. And that is exactly what I did. Because we were just about to sit down for a holiday meal. And I'm like, and I'm at the table with my family, who, you know, I don't see that often because I lived out, you know, not with them, and we're spending the holiday together. And I don't even travel on this holiday. I'm saying, well, we'll wait until after this holiday. And they're like, no, you need to come now. So I'm sitting at the table, and I'm saying, you know, they're telling me I need to come to the hospital, but I don't think I want to do this. Just like that. I don't think I'm ready for this. What are they telling me? It's not making sense to me. It's not even computing. So I ate my dinner, and then everybody forced me to go to the hospital. And, and then I had my child.
So when you say everybody, you mean your husband, your parents,
and,
your
yeah,
entire family?
Everybody sitting at the holiday table was like, you know, you need to go have your child. And I'm like, nah, I can wait. He's not due for another month. It can wait, you know. I'm not rushing this. And what do they mean he's retarded? And this isn't happening. Like, I wasn't prepared for such a thing.
Right. Wow. So then you go to the hospital, and you give birth, like they induce labor for you?
Oh, my God. That was the worst experience, if you want to know the truth. He wasn't coming. So they decided, after hours and hours of being not in labor, because it never happened, switching doctors on call, because nobody even wanted to handle this case, they finally, he went into fetal distress, my son. So they took me in, did a C-section. I felt everything. They didn't give me enough pain. I was screaming. Yes, but it didn't work. I don't know what happened. I felt everything. Them tearing me, everything, cutting me. Finally.
Oh, my God.
They called in another anesthesiologist. While I'm on the table, I'm watching this whole thing occur. And then the next thing I know, I am out. With 105 fever, I wake up with pneumonia, almost dead.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's pampering over me. I'm like, where's my child? He's in ICU. I'm like, I want to see him. No, you can't. You cannot move. You cannot go near him. You have 105 fever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we started.
Wow. So basically,
for a week, I couldn't even see him or touch him because I was so sick.
Uh-huh. And then after that week, they brought him into you?
No, I went to him because he was in ICU.
Oh, okay. So he was a preemie. They took him out a little bit too soon.
Yeah, he was a preemie. He was 4'6". He had microcephaly, which means the size of his head is very small. Yeah.
Wow. So that's really like the miracle of Rosh Hashanah, isn't it?
That we both survived, yes. That we even both
survived,
and that we're fighters, and that we're fighters. And that's my whole story, is that you can't listen to people when they say you can't do this. And you have to go by what you know, what you believe in, kind of like the law of attraction, even though I knew nothing about that at that time. That's what I was doing.
That's exactly what you were doing instinctively. A mother's
instinctively.
Instinct, I'll tell you, is
instinctively.
The most powerful thing.
Like when Nate said to me, you know, he's going to be in a home and this is the deal and the social workers came in, I'm like, no, that's not the deal, you know. And I had a very close cousin of mine who I grew up with, and she was a speech therapist. And she's like, okay, there's early intervention. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then I got into my holistic things with him, and we did cranial sacral therapy. I did energy work on him. That's how I got into my job as a service coordinator, actually, because I was such a good advocate for him. I decided that I was going to help others, and I did that for 17 years. I was a service coordinator and helped special needs children. So he turned around my whole life.
Wow. And what do you do today?
Now I am an energy healer. I'm a holistic practitioner. I help other people in many different ways, and I'm also leaning towards helping special needs families. That's like on my next layer of actually going to early intervention programs, telling them my story, or to SEPTA, telling them my story, and saying, okay, holistic approaches can help. When they tell you no, you say yes, and how, and why, and what aids them, mm-hmm. with essential oils, or with pulling things out of your past life, whatever it is, whatever your belief is, can happen, but you have to believe.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So
that's what I do now. I'm a holistic practitioner. I sell doTERRA essential oils, and I do. I have several modalities, but my passion is healing with the angels, integrated energy therapy. I'm a master. I learned how to do it actually when I got sick and there was no cure. This is another part of my story that will obviously I'm going to share. My heart rate was down to 20. I wasn't a pacemaker candidate, and they said, we don't know what to do with you. I was passing out, and somebody introduced me to my integrated energy therapy. I learned how to do it. I cured myself, and then I started treating my son with it also, and my family, and myself, and I do it every day.
So the bottom line is, and that's really the huge part of your message, that just because someone tells you, just because the doctor tells you, even if it's a doctor and an expert tells you something cannot be done, it's not necessarily true. And I two things
Every...
that I actually experienced myself, and one of them was that your energy healing is amazing. I really would recommend everybody to go and experience it.
Thank
because
you.
It's not just something that you do. It's something that you're so passionate about, and it definitely comes through. And you give way too much. You give and you give and you give for as much as you can. So that's number one. And number two, I was also
I'm guided. I'm guided. I have to say I am guided to do this, and I feel like it's my passion, and it's my mission in life, and that's why I'm so passionate about it also. I feel like I have come through so much from my journey. I want to give back to those who need.
And then, yeah, exactly. And
so going back to one
message,
thing about the doctors
one second,
also.
Debbie, another part of this message before we go back to that is when the doctors told me that I was going to be paralyzed, I said, no, I'm not, because I have two babies to raise. And that's why I'm not. And I just want to encourage everyone. I'm not saying not to go to doctors and not to listen to anyone, but don't take everything at face value. Because
okay, the same
more.
Thing. The same thing with Annie. They told me, there's nothing you can do. He's going to be special ed. He'll probably develop into maybe a seven-year-old. That's what they told me at birth. Maybe five,
mm-hmm,
maybe
exactly.
seven.
We're no
guessing.
Way.
We're guessing. And they said, we're really sorry. Every neurologist said this. And I'm like, I don't care what you say. Ain't happening. Ain't happening.
Right.
My son
right.
is going to fight this with me. And we did.
Exactly. And because you don't accept it, you were able to fight it. Because if you would have accepted it, that's exactly what would have happened. Your son
Absolutely.
Would have been
then he would have been in a home. He would have been in a home right now. Non-functional.
Right. So that's the law of attraction at work, full force, with anyone that totally makes up their mind to do it. And that's basically your message. Go for it, fight for it. But you had a lot more challenges than just your child. You also had a marriage that wasn't the happiest place on this planet.
No, it was not. And he and his family said, oh, there's nothing wrong with my son. They're totally in denial. And why are you running with him? And why are you therapizing him? And you're doing too much. And you're making him sick by going here. So on top of everything else, I had their little fight to deal with.
Wait a minute, I don't understand. They said there was nothing wrong with your son.
Yeah, they were in total denial. They were in total denial. His sister-in-law was a hotshot mm-hmm. at the Board of Ed. She thought she knew everything. Mm-hmm. And she would see my little boy playing and running around. Oh, look at him. He's fine. They don't know what they're talking about. Leave him alone. He doesn't need therapy. He's going to develop fine. And she persuaded the whole family that there's nothing wrong with this child.
Wow. Wow.
Imagine.
See, when you have challenges, it goes all the way around on so many levels.
Yes. And she was a hotshot at the Board of Ed with special needs, District 75, up there in the president's office. She was a principal at one point for special ed high school. And here she's telling the family, well, who are you going to listen to, me or her? I'm the principal here. This is just the mother. What does she know? She's over-therapizing him.
So
yeah,
you had
not
the
fun.
Doctors and the family challenge you.
The doctors who would say, don't go because there's no help, and them saying, don't go because he needs no help. You want to talk about two ends of the spectrum here.
And what did that do? Did he make you more determined to just do what you have to do?
I didn't listen to anybody. I'm like, you know what? You think what you want to think. You think what you want to think. I am on my journey with my son. I'm taking care of him. He is my responsibility. He is my son.
Exactly. Exactly. And that took a lot of courage. So you're learning and you're getting more courageous as you go along with it. With every step of the way, you have to fight it. And still you did it. And your son
yes.
was responding to you.
Yes. He got OT, PT, speech. You know what? I don't even know how he survived it because at the time I was working full-time. So I would take him to therapy after work, and then I would work from home sometimes because that's what my job entailed. And then 18 months later, I had my daughter.
Wow.
So now I had two little kids and still running around.
Right. And still working.
And still working, and still fighting the world, and still doing what I needed to do.
Wow. We really can't wait for you to have your story out in print so that we get all the details of everything that happened from beginning to end.
And the truth, let it be, is that I had my daughter because I didn't want my son to be alone in this world, so I wanted him to have a sibling. So no matter how bad my marriage was, I made sure that my son had somebody because I didn't know where he was going to end up.
And you didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, you
exactly.
were serious, but you didn't
so
know
he needed a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how bad my marriage was, I still made sure I got pregnant.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
love my
sense.
Daughter so much. I do love my daughter so
right.
much. But it was like I had to have this child at that time, and I wanted them close in age, and I knew exactly what my method of craziness, because everybody was saying, how could you have a child so close? You have a special needs son here. What are you doing? And I'm like, I have my reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that she's not special within herself, it's just that
she is very special within herself, yes. But there was an alternate reason for her also. Because I was fearful yeah. that my son wasn't going to make it. You know, everybody was saying, hey, he's retarded.
Yeah, I do understand that. I think when I got pregnant with my second child, one of the things that ran through my head is, okay, that's great. I knew I was going to get a divorce too, but I said, great, at least my first child is going to have a sibling in this world. And I think it's kind of like if you're in a bad situation, in any kind of bad situation, obviously I wasn't in your situation, and you know, like I knew I was going to get a divorce, but still I went ahead and I wanted the second child because it's always, like, nice for you to have a sister and a brother or somebody that's, you know, besides your parents, because obviously your parents are not going to be there forever. So that's really, really nice. So you now work full-time.
I work full-time for myself.
Well,
I actually, through my divorce period, he was self-employed. He didn't show the money I did. So when I finally had the courage to leave, he couldn't even believe that I had the courage to leave, and my divorce lasted 5 years. He sued me for alimony. He went bankrupt during the divorce. I was left with nothing. I left with a suitcase in my hand. When I finally went back to the house after he was living there prior to selling it, because that eventually did happen, when I paid the mortgage while he was living there, because otherwise it was going to go into default and bankruptcy or whatever it is when they take your house away, I had to go back
escorts. It's called foreclosure.
Foreclosure,
right.
Yes, foreclosure. So he didn't pay for a year living there. Every time I got a statement, I would say, okay, let me just pay it because I don't want to lose the house.
Right.
So, that was my 5-year struggle.
So you sold the house eventually?
We did sell the house eventually, yes. But prior to that, I was allotted 2 hours with the police to pack up 17 years in a house.
Wow. So your divorce was also very difficult. It seems like your life has been really struggled on a lot of levels. And I think a lot of the stuff that we struggle with is things that we create ourselves, choices that we make, but a lot of the things that are out of our control. And you definitely have an example of that. But in spite of all of that, you survived it. And
totally survived it, and I truly believe that material things come and go. I've been rich, I've been poor. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's always nicer to have some money, but you know what? Your mental being is so much more important than anything else, because if you don't have that, you have nothing.
Your health, mental, physical,
yes,
whatever. If you don't have your health, you really don't have anything.
Right.
So that sounds fascinating. So I'm going to give you something to do on the air right now so that everybody else can do that with you. And I just want to tell them what you have done, and I'm not going to go through it. So what we have done up until now is you just sit down and did some free writing of points that you might want to touch in your story. For example, in the beginning, what happened, how you got married maybe, and then you went on to your work, and what happened, and a little bit of the story that you told me. So you just sit down and you just brainstorm and you write a whole bunch of points together. And we'll work on that before we talk next time, before people listen, so that it's going to be a little bit more organized so we can talk about it. But for next time that we talk, which is going to be next week on Monday, what I want you to do is think about the last chapter, how you would like your book to end. Just focusing on the last one, because the way the story ends really builds on how you're going to get to the way the story ends. And then you'll know exactly what you want to write in the beginning. Not that it's going to be set in stone and that you can't modify it a little bit, because you can modify everything. Nothing is set in stone. And even if it is set in stone these days, it could be etched out, which I found out not too long ago, that when they do, like even when they grave, when they engrave in a stone, they can take it out. Looks like somebody wants you. But is that your phone?
Yes. Perfect timing, right? We're signing off.
Yeah, the timing is well. Write your last chapter. Boom, here I am. Here's my phone. So, yeah, so write the last chapter and or think about the last chapter of what you want to write about. Don't necessarily write it out. Just think about, how do I want to end this book? What taste do I want to leave? Do I want to end it, let's say, where I am today? Or do I want to end it with the conclusion of a message that I want to give to the world? Or whatever it is, just think about different scenarios of the last chapter. That's what it is for the final week.
Okay, great.
So now going back to the fact of making money and losing money, and it is only money, and you basically when you die, you don't take it with you.
Exactly.
I understand that. And last night I was actually having a conversation with someone who happens to be a heiress and inherited a lot of money. And one of the things she's constantly afraid of every minute of every day is that somehow she's going to lose that money and she's going to be lost forever. And that's a real fear that a lot of people have. Either they make their money by themselves, or if they inherit money, they're afraid to lose it. What would you want to tell them, being that you've been up and down, lost it, made it? What would you tell people that are really afraid, and it's a legitimate fear?
Oh, absolutely. So what I believe in, actually, is that fear is just an illusion of energy. There's actually a quote that I'm actually doing Wednesday. I'm going to plug my bonfire that's all about fear on Wednesday.
Wow.
You can go on my site, on my New York City, it's called New York City Integrated Energy Therapy. We're going to clear the fear on Wednesday with a bonfire and integrated energy therapy. So,
what's the website, please?
New York City, NYC.
Let me write it down. So I'm going to put it right here below where we're talking. But you'll see a slide. It's called New York City spelled out.
It's NYC. NYC.
Okay, one second. So it's NYC.
Integrated Energy Therapy Group.
Integrated Energy Therapy Group.
And the topic this week is
Debbie, is it .com?
No, it's on Meetup. New York City
Meetup. Oh,
it's
a Meetup group. Okay, so you go to meetup.com.
And
then you type in New York City Integrated Energy Therapy Group. Is that what you type in? So I go to meetup.com and I want to find your group. How do I find it?
You go into Meetup, you log on, and then it would say search. In that search, you put in my group, and it will come up. There might be a couple of them. Look for the one that says Bonfire Clearing Your Fear, because that is my topic this week.
Bonfire Clearing Your Fear. So let me just be very clear about how you do that. You go to meetup.com, and then you go to search in Brooklyn.
Right.
Make
and
sure
you're
that
gonna,
you are in
Brooklyn,
because if you are in New York City and if you are in Manhattan, it's not going to come up. And then you look for New York City, NYC, Integrated Energy Therapy Group. Then you look for the Bonfire Clearing Your Fear. So these are the four steps that you have to take. You have to go to meetup.com. You have to put in NYC Integrated Energy Therapy
Group.
You're
going to see a picture. You'll see a picture of an angel holding a sword.
Okay.
That's my motto.
And then if you want to get more details on it, or if you're not sure how to get it, or for some reason you cannot find it, you can email me at efactorshow@gmail.com. That's efactor, F-A-C-T-O-R, @gmail.com. And I will give you the details if you want to hear it. Or you can always follow me right here on the show. Click on the follow button, and I will give you updates, and I will send you information of anything that we're doing so that you know about it. But as far as that energy healing, energy therapy group that Debbie's giving on Wednesday, I went there last week, and it was amazing. It was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You definitely need to come and experience it. Definitely need to do that.
But how coincidental that we're talking about fear, and that's my topic this week. Because you can't live in fear. You can't live in fear. You have to release the fear to move on.
Exactly. And it could be fear of writing a book. It could be fear of losing something. It could be fear of anything, because that fear is not real. So another thing that we were saying is about fear is when you are afraid of something and you actually, it's okay to be afraid, but you go forward and you still do it in spite of the fear, somehow the fear starts disappearing slowly.
Right. That's called acting as if, which is always a good thing to do.
Exactly.
Act as if.
Exactly.
Act as if.
And then the fear will still be there trying to yell at you, hey, you're supposed to be afraid. But then you kind of close the door. It's almost like when you shine the light on it and you show it, you know what, I'm going to do it even though I'm afraid, then it really does feel so amazing. It's one of those highs that is better than any drug you've ever wanted to try. And
absolutely.
Trust me, I've tried it.
but there are on a holistic point of view, there are things like I explained last week at the bonfire. You know, you can get a little bruise, and then it becomes bigger and bigger in your body until you get blocked. So what I do is I help unblock those feelings, those dis-ease, which becomes disease, and that's what integrated energy therapy is about.
Right, exactly. So come and enjoy the bonfire and stand by for Debbie's story, because it's coming up. And for next week, actually, if you're listening, there's two things that you have to do, because Debbie already did the number one thing and she wrote her 3 points of points that you might want to cover. But for you, go ahead and sit down and just write point one, I want to cover in my story, 2, 3, 4, as many points as you can. And then sit down and just think about the last chapter. What do you want to write about the last chapter? And just free write. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about writing correctly. Just go ahead and write what is the last chapter of your book going to be. And I want to thank you. We're down to our last 60 seconds, and I want to thank you so much for listening. And, Debbie, I want to thank you so much for joining us. This has been so much fun, and it's been so exciting. And we can't wait to hear
your
book.
Thank you so much for being a part of my journey in this. I so appreciate, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
You are listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I'm talking to Debbie Soul on her journey of her amazing story and writing her book. So until next week, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. And don't forget to follow right here where it says follow for updates and all kinds of information about events that are going to happen. And also you can give us your feedback by calling in at 914-338-0686 while we're live. But if you're not listening live, go ahead and enjoy the journey. We will see you next week.